The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. The text for today is John 16, verses 23 to 30. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time comes when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now you speak plainly and not a proverb. Now we are sure that you know all things, and need not that any man should ask you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ, our gospel treats of prayer. We poor sinful mortals are permitted to pray, privileged to address our Creator, the great God in heaven. What an honour. Common people consider themselves highly honoured when they are admitted into the presence of a mighty ruler, and the prince do speak to him and ask of him some favour. But how much greater is this honour conferred upon us, poor sinful creatures, that at any time and anywhere we may address the ruler of the universe and confide to him our troubles and cares. Do all men make proper use of this privilege? Do all men pray? No, most people never pray. The unbelieving children of this world treat prayer with scorn and ridicule. At the same time, let an unbeliever get into danger of his life and in most cases, he will make an attempt to pray and to call upon God to save him, as has often been witnessed in the case of earthquakes, shipwrecks and similar calamities. Those who a short time before had blasphemed God and ridiculed prayer were seen to be among the first to fall down upon their knees and to wring their hands and to try that God should help them. It is not only the unbelieving world that neglects prayer. Even faithful Christians are sometimes neglectful of their duty to pray. Satan, the old wicked foe, knows well that prayer is a bulwark against him, that there is a very little chance for him to deceive and to seduce the praying Christian into misbelief, despair, and other great shame and vice. One of his old tricks is, therefore, to throw all kinds of obstacles in the Christian's way to keep him from praying. Now in our Gospel, we are told by our divine Lord Jesus how we may overcome these impediments which Satan places in our way, and with the aid of God continue in our prayers. Let me show you, with the aid of God's Holy Spirit, how to overcome the impediments of prayer. This is done by heeding the express command of God that we should pray, the divine assurances God is pleased with our prayer, the divine promise that our prayer shall be heard. One of the main impediments by which Christians are often kept from prayer, undoubtedly, is procrastination, or a putting off of prayer for some future time. We know and feel that we ought to pray, but we think that we are not in the right mood to pray just then. We are not in a suitable frame of mind to address the Almighty. Our thoughts are not moving in the right channel, and so we put it off to a time when we expect to be better prepared for prayer. The appointed time comes, and lo, we are no more, or perhaps even less, qualified than before. We do not pray in the morning when we rise. We expect to be inspired with more devotion later in the day. The day passes, our mind is occupied with things of this life, and we forget to pray. Or we do not pray in the evening before retiring. We we feel too tired and worn out and make up our mind to pray next evening. The next evening comes and again we feel the same way and prayer is neglected. Who among us has not been deluded by this old trick of Satan inducing us to put off prayer, until by the grace of God we found that this procrastination was a delusion and a snare aiming to destruction of our souls. Now, how many Christians overcome this first and most dangerous impediment to prayer? By heeding the express command of God that we should pray. Jesus says in our gospel, "Hitherto have you not asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." This is certainly as plain a command as there can be. Christ says to his disciples, "Ask and you shall receive." He does not merely give an advice here saying it was a useful thing to pray. He does not leave it to our own judgment to determine for ourselves whether we should pray or not. No, this is a direct and straight command. Ask and you shall receive. The same command is implied in the second commandment. For when God says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain," this implies that we should make right and proper use of the name of God, that we should call upon him in every trouble, pray praise and give thanks. And the same command is also given by the words of the Holy Apostle, "Pray without ceasing," and in many other pages of Holy Scripture, both in the Old and the New Testament. When therefore we are tempted to put off prayer, when we hear the voice which says, "You cannot pray, you're not in the right frame of mind to converse with God, wait a while, you can do better later on," let us remember that these suggestions come from the devil. Let us sternly oppose the old wicked foe and say to him, "Depart from me, you evil spirit. Shall I transgress God's express command which bids me pray?" Is not this command on the same line with all the rest of God's holy commandments? If, therefore, I should keep all the rest of God's holy commandments and offend in this one point and not pray, I shall be guilty of all. What of it, if I deem myself unprepared and not in a suitable frame of mind? I might also be unprepared to hear the word of God, and is that an excuse? No, I shall not consider whether I am prepared or not, but deem it my duty to pray. God commands stand and remains the same, no matter how I feel about it. The less disposed I feel to pray, the more I will fear God's express command and say to him, "Oh God, you have commanded me to pray, and I am so negligent. I have no desire and no zeal. Forgive me my sins, O Lord, and fill my heart with fervency and true devotion." And my friends, if thus we heed God's express command, we shall soon be quickened and we shall triumphantly overcome the impediment by which Satan meant to fell us. Another impediment by which Christians often get from praying is a sense of their own unworthiness. When we turn to God to address him in prayer, there our conscience will rise up against them and say, "How dare you pray? How dare you say, 'Our Father'? The holy apostles, men like Paul, John, Peter, could do that. But what are you? You are unworthy. You are a damnable sinner. And still you mean to stand up before the just and holy God, who is a consuming fire to all evildoers?" No, prayer is not a privilege for us. We must be a different creature before we can venture to pray to God. Does not the Bible say, "We know that God heareth not sinners"? Such, my friends, are Satan's darts, by which Christians are often assailed, especially when they are in some great trouble. Indifferent people, secure sinners of course, who never feel worried about their sins, cannot understand this. Of the scribes and Pharisees, for instance, we read, "And they prayed a great deal and never doubted their worthiness. The Pharisee who with the publican went up into the temple to pray boasted of his own worthiness even in his prayer and said, God, I thank you that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican." And such Pharisees are to be found to this day. They are the people who trust in themselves that they are righteous who do not mean to receive something of God when they pray, but they give God something thereby to enhance the glory and to make a show of their own piety. Their prayers are not true prayers, not an intercourse between soul and the true living God, but only a mockery of prayer, mere babblings. True Christians who know how sternly God is opposed to sin frequently are held down by their own unworthiness and are made to feel as if they must not dare stand before the holy God and address him in prayer. How may Christians overcome the second impediment to prayer? By heeding the assurance which God has given us that he is pleased with our prayer. This divine assurance is clearly stated in our gospel where the Lord says, And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I am come out from God. These words must be rightly understood. When Jesus says, I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, he does not mean that he will not intercede for us before the Father, or that we should not depend on his intercession for us. No, what he would say is this: think not, my dear disciple, that I alone can pray for you, and that you were not permitted to address the Father in prayer. Know that the Father loves you for my sake. He is pleased with your prayers, which you address to him in my name. Pray, therefore, in spite of your own unworthiness. Pray, though we feel as if we should not dare to approach the Almighty. Let us remember this, my dear Christians. The Lord Jesus assured his disciples that they were God's dear children since they believed in Jesus the Saviour. And so are we his dear children if we believe. For with God there is no respect of persons. And look at the disciples. How imperfect they were at the time when Christ gave them this comforting assurance. They expected of Christ that he should establish a glorious worldly kingdom and make worldly rulers of them. They quarrelled among themselves who should occupy the highest rank. Yet they were assured that the Father loved them because they loved Jesus and believed in Jesus. And yet they were assured that God was pleased with their prayers. Why then should we desist from praying when Satan holds before us our unworthiness? Why should we be afraid to approach God's mercy seat because of our sins? Let us heed the divine assurance that God is always pleased with our prayers as long as we pray in the name of Jesus, that is, in faith, with a sincere heart, in love to Jesus. And if that faith were ever so weak and frail and had dwindled down to a mere desire to believe, to a bruised reed and a smoking flax, still there is one more and very frequent impediment by which Christians are kept from prayer, and that is doubt whether our prayer shall be heard. When a Christian makes ready to pray for something, Satan will say to him, what is the use of praying? Do you expect to alter the plans of the Almighty, worm of the dust that you are, a tiny speck in the universe? Do you really expect to accomplish anything by prayer? God has arranged everything beforehand, and you will carry out his arrangements in spite of your prayer. And even if prayers are heard, your prayer will certainly not be heard, because your voice is too weak to reach the heavenly throne. You are too insignificant a creature to be recognized by God in heaven. Oh, how often are Christians assailed by such thoughts, and what is the result? They either pray in doubt, and then their prayer is not heard. As the holy apostle James says, he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Or they are kept entirely from prayer by this impediment of doubt as to the efficiency of their appeal to God. But how is this impediment overcome? By heeding the divine promise that our prayers shall be heard. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Behold, Jesus not only gives a distinct promise here that our prayer shall be heard, he even attests the promise by a double oath, saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." In the face of this direct promise, ought not every Christian to be ashamed of himself, to give room to doubts arising in his mind as to the efficiency of his prayer? Is it not a sin and a shame before God that all the world to think that our prayer will not be heard, when we know that the Son of God had attested with an oath that whatsoever we ask the Father in Jesus' name, we shall receive? Do we not give God and his beloved Son Jesus a lie by such a doubt? Can there be more a damnable sin? Oh, let us not pay any attention to the voice of Satan saying to us, "Pray not, it is useless, you shall not be heard anyway." Let us heed the divine promise that our prayers shall be heard. Satan is a liar. Jesus tells the truth. Perhaps someone will say here, "But does not God sometimes refuse to grant us our requests? Are not many prayers unheard?" The answer is no. Prayer in Jesus' name will be heard. In Jesus' name we may pray for spiritual things, as the grace of God, the forgiveness of sins and the like. These gifts we shall always receive according to the special divine promise. In Jesus' name we may also pray for temporal gifts for which we have no special divine promise. But when we pray for these temporal gifts in Jesus' name, we cannot pray in any other way than Jesus did when he said, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." Though we must pray in firm faith and in no wise doubt that God will hear our prayer, yet we can never pray in Jesus' name for temporal gift without affixing the condition, "If it is thy will." O God, for thou knowest alone, O Lord, what is truly charity for my immortal soul. And also this prayer for a temporal gift is always heard, either by granting the very thing for which we ask, or by granting us a still greater spiritual blessing in the place of the temporal gift which we ask, and which would not have been truly beneficial had we received it. May the Lord then grant us all his grace to overcome all the impediments by which Satan would keep us from our prayers, that we may heed the express command of God to pray, the divine assurance that God is pleased with our prayers, and the divine promise that our prayer in Jesus' name shall always be heard and accepted. And thus we shall be blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, until we behold the Lord upon his throne and praise him forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.